Dungeon Master, four adventurers, all of them clueless. When five video gamers throw down their controllers and pick up dice, what's the worst that could happen? This is OCD and D. Welcome, everyone, to the second episode of OCD and D, the Master's Vault. Previously on the Master's Vault, Kim managed to poison everyone apart from Mark. And your leader and your teacher, the Master, you've heard, has died. So after killing some rats and succeeding in passing your course...
I died?
No, the Master... You're not the master. Let's go on with it, shall we? So, it's been a year since you've seen each other. So your
year's not long enough.
Meet up at the crossroads again, the place where you left. So, do you have anything to say to each other after not seeing each other for a year?
Please say, "Oh, Mark, you look like you've grown."
All right, look, let's circle up here. Look, if we're going to be forced to work together, if we need to work together, we need to have better group planning. So you, little one. No.
Me or Kim.
Not fat and stumpy. I said little one. You halfling, you have skills. You have skills, but you're small in stature. So my suggestion, hang back with me, use some of your long-range expertise, and then when we need you to do something sneaky, I don't know, like pick a lock.
Without poisoning
check
everyone.
Check it out first, make sure you're not going to kill us all, and pick the lock. Now, Stumpy, that's you, dwarf. You.
Nobody elf.
You absolutely should be up front. You're a bowling ball, you're a wrecking ball machine, so I would suggest you take the lead and, of course, take all the damage for us. And then you, Lizard Face, you, Parthenex, you seem like an okay bloke. You're a straight shooter. I like that about you because I can figure out what you're going to do for the most part. So
you didn't figure out we were going to put a rat in his pocket, did you?
Just do your thing, but for the love of God, don't eat any bugs. I feel like you're going to eat bugs. I don't know why. You remind me of frogs in my old homestead. I think this is a sound battle plan.
I don't eat bugs. I eat elves.
and just an FYI, Traylon, if I'm going up front, be careful of that ray of frost, because I don't like a cold ass.
Of course I'll be careful. And of course my role... will be because of my knowledge base, because of my understanding.
Sure, here we go.
Get me all violin out. Yeah.
I will stay back and wield my magic to an effective ray for the group.
That's what we're calling it now. Wield your magic. All right. Well, whatever.
All right. So you're heading on the roads back to Parable.
Yes.
And you spot a couple of bags in the road.
What's my mum doing there?
There's three bags lying in the road. There's no one around.
I
trees to either side.
Are they moving at all?
That's my question.
Are they moving at all?
Are they a bag for life?
I think you need to roll a perception check.
You know, Fridge has still got a rat in his pocket. We could just send the rat up there. Yeah.
Touche.
Right?
Which one is the perception roll again?
Perception is on your skills. So on the left-hand side, you've got your saving throws, you've got your skills, and you have a perception of 3.
I see it now. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Ace.
That was fantastic. you don't see anything around. Does anyone else want to have a look? All appears quiet according to training.
Yeah. What do we do for perception thing then?
Dwarves have no perception.
Apparently not.
The natural sprinters.
above passive wisdom.
Yeah.
There's a box that says skills.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's ticked with a three. Yeah, I see. Yeah. I knew it were all along, just testing you.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. I see. Fuck all.
Well, there's absolutely no one around, as far as you can see.
All right. I vote we send the halfling up to check the bags for traps.
Sure. Send the halfling. All right, I volunteer. I will go up and check it for traps and probably get, like, Kim, decapitated or something.
Kim, just roll a perception check for me.
Will do. Let me pull it back up here.
Smarty. That's a good roll.
That's a better roll. Kim, you walk up to the bags and there's no traps at all. You open the bags and you find 300 gold pieces.
He's off to the
watch bridge. That halfling. Remember, this is shared loot. So,
all right.
Kim, it's up to you what you do with that, whether you put it towards the party or you have it to yourself.
Well, you know, I did poison y'all last time, so I'll share it with y'all. I'm not greedy. This time. Next time, not so lucky. So
okay, very good. So you have 300 gold pieces to your party, and you enter the village of Parabor. Welcome to Parabor, frontier village of diverse.
Can you hear them birds?
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Nice, that.
So, Parabor is a frontier village of diverse miners and adventurers. The community's economy is fueled by silver in the Cairngorm Ranges, mithril in the Iceband Peaks, and explorers like you who scout the Merion Vale for treasure. The Cairngorm Ranges cut Parabor and the Merion Vale off from the rest of the kingdom of Skylark, where King Raziel Forthwith II rules a prosperous civilization. So whilst this small village falls under his domain, he largely ignores it. His operations are in the hands of Governess Judith Seagarten, who keeps a small guard and can raise a large militia if any trouble comes to town. She lets the villagers keep to themselves, coming around with the guards once a year to collect taxes. The dangerous jobs and remote location of Parabor attract more than miners and adventurers. Plenty of people running from something, be it the law, a shady past, or an angry ex-lover, come to Parabor for refuge from their previous life. This is a village where people ask where you're going, not where you came from. So 3 days ago, Ilaria Feywing, a renowned mentor to many famous adventurers, died. She was known in the Merion Vale as the Vasta, and you were her final pupils. You had not even begun to look for work, proper work, or Kimann began to look for work, when the news came through that she died. Part of her instructions of her last will and testament, she was buried quickly in a simple ceremony. While many who live in Parabor came to see the master lay to rest, you were her only students to attend, given the short notice. Galana, the local dwarf priestess who runs a holy beacon, Parabor's Temple of Lux, God of Light, asks you each to say a few words about Ilaria in eulogy by sharing a favourite memory of an unexpected lesson the elf taught you. So, does anyone want to share any memories?
Yeah, she always told me size does not matter. Small things, big things come in small packages.
I feel like I never really knew her.
Apparently Mark knew her real well. I'm just saying. Well, you know. Hopefully I'll turn out better than I did my first time around of poisoning you all. So, you know. Apparently she saw something good in me, otherwise she would have kicked my ass out. So.
She once found me washing my blade by a stream. And I'll never forget it. I was looking up to the stars. Just daydreaming. And she wandered over and asked me. She asked me what my goal in life is. And I said to her, to just smash like. Just get on with it. And what she taught me was that whatever it is that you want to do, as long as you don't mind stepping over a few dwarves, elves, and thieves, yeah, you can get it, really.
That's very moving, Parthenax.
Thank you.
Very moving.
Yeah.
My loins turned.
As the service finishes, and as you exit the Holy Beacon, Yelsa Hodwick, the only solicitor currently working in Parabor, approaches you. The middle-aged gnome woman pushes up her half-moon spectacles, wiping tears from her eyes as she embraces you one by one, barely holding back hysterical tears. Miss Feywing spoke fondly of you all. In fact, you all mentioned in the last will and testament. If you have time today, would you please stop by my office? I know it's not a lot to ask, but... Yelsa cannot finish her sentence as the tears finally come. She walks away from you, honking into her handkerchief. Please stop by later. She manages to get out through the tears.
So, I suppose we should go to our office.
Probably.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it's only fitting. I mean, she didn't leave us something, apparently, or something. So
head back into the town. So there are a number of places you can go to. There's the Quill and Stopper, which is
I thought there's a Quill and Stripper. I'm going to spend all my gold on. Jeez.
Well, we know what Mark's thinking about. Jeez.
So yes, there's the Quill and Stopper, which is a magic shop. There's the Rowdy Room, which is a tavern. The Holy Beacon you've been into. Hinge's Hammer, which is a blacksmith.
Oh.
And the Pegleg Trading Post, which is a shop. And obviously the solicitor's office, so...
Look, before we go to the solicitor's office, we've got some gold on us. I think we need to look at potentially equipping us better. Because, let's face it, we've got some abilities, but we not necessarily have the right equipment. Like, the dwarf needs something to actually protect him from falling. I apparently can use a bow and arrow, but I just have arrows, no bow or crossbow.
Could be a problem.
I'm thinking maybe, you know, upgrade ourselves a little bit before we move forward. What say we?
I actually agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, we have a little money in our pocket. We might as well use it for, you know, something other than grog.
I can do with a new quill.
I could do with some chainmail, size small.
So should we head over to the Hinge's Hammer?
Yeah.
Go to. Hi. Assuming that's the blacksmith.
That is the blacksmith.
Go there first and get some better armor and weapon. Although I really won't be getting too much from here.
I don't know how much gold I've got.
You've got 300 between you at the moment.
Between us?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Mr. Blacksmith, do you have a price list, please?
So the din of a rhythmic hammer pounding metal can be heard before you even enter this sweltering blacksmith's shop. Suits of armor and fine weapons line the walls. Behind the counter, the burliest, sweatiest halfling you've ever seen pounds out an unfinished sword on an anvil made for someone just his size. Without stopping his work, he shouts, "Dino, Mary, customers!" Two little children come running down the stairs. It's Deggle's twin son and daughter. And they help him around the shop. So they go, "Good morning. Hello, how are you? How can I help?"
Allow me to speak for everybody, apparently. we need to peruse your goods and see if we can find something that might be an upgrade to what we currently have.
Right, so how much money have you got to spend?
Enough.
Enough. Ooh. hey, you know, this is going to be great.
Look, you know, little lady. Just show us what you have, and we will pick from that. I'm not going to tell you how much we have and then have you jack the prices up on us.
Well, we've got horseshoes. We've got candlesticks.
What kind we've of swords do you have?
Swords. Ooh. We've got big swords.
Sharp, pointy things.
And little swords. But if you want magic swords, then I don't think you'll be able to buy them from here.
No, I think we just need the regular old swords.
But what are those things? What are those things you've got already?
Well, one, I don't have any of these things, so pipe down, little girl.
Well, you've got a little short sword.
So here's a timeout to the DM. Do I really? Because I'm looking in my inventory of equipment. I've got 20 arrows, a backpack, a spell book, a book of lore, a book of ink, or a bottle of ink, an ink pen, a sheet of parchment, a little bag of sand.
If you look above your attacks and spell casting, you've got a short sword and a longbow.
See, I didn't know if that was my ability to attack or if that was the actual equipment.
That's the actual equipment.
Is saying I've already got chainmail. Mm. Is that already equipped?
Yeah, you've got that.
Right.
So you've actually got quite a lot of, you know, armor and various things already. So
I've got a crowbar as well. I could have crowbarred that door open. save us all the poisoning.
Maybe it might be.
You would have still set the trap off.
See, yes.
You could use that.
Can I ask you, DM? What's a tinderbox?
Tinderbox, that's for lighting lighting fires.
Fire. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Tinderbox. Yeah.
So
I actually don't need anything from here, lads, so I'm happy to wander off now and leave these two kids to fucking sweat the day away.
little lady, may I ask then, if you don't have any kind of items that are imbued with magic, do you know potentially of some place where we might find something like that around here?
Yes, you should go to the Quinn and Stopper.
Mm.
That's the local magician and potion maker.
All right, then let's
split.
I guess, yeah, let's split. Let's go hit the Quill and Stopper. And this is the proper formation, by the way. Everybody in front of me.
That's what you keep saying.
Welcome, travelers. How can I help you today?
We're seeking items imbued with magic to help us.
This is a very special shop. We do not have a shopping list or price list. It is purely by chance. So you've walked into the Quinlan Stopper, and it's run by Gragnok Rathax. So he's actually a half-orc. You wouldn't know it to look at him, but he's actually a half-orc. But he's always been ostracized by others. So his brilliance, natural talent with magic made many fear him all the more. But he has got quite a twisted sense of humour. So
I like this guy already.
You walk in. It's very clean and neat. Mm-hmm. Several scroll cases marked with arcane rules and small vials of red and green liquid sit on a display inside a glass counter.
Tell me, do you by chance have any health potions?
We do. Health potions you can have for 10 gold pieces. I have plenty of those.
I think we should also purchase some antidote for poisoning. In case.
Yeah. Do you also have anti-poison?
We do, but I have something much more interesting for you.
Oh, you don't say.
Tell us, Grognak.
And what would that be?
So, I like a game of chance. And I have a mystery box for each of you.
Oh, dear.
50 gold pieces. And all you need to do is roll and see what you get in the mystery box. I need you guys, whoever wants to do this, you're going to roll 2d10. So this is going to be the first, you roll 1d10, and that'll be the... Oh.
Sorry, that was not my role. I just was clicking on the roll dice thing.
Fucking Leroy Jenkins over here.
Damn it, Trillian.
Basically, this is out of 100, so it's a bit of a potluck. So the first dice you roll will be the tens, and the second dice you roll will be the
units.
What's this? Units. Thank you.
So is this 50 gold pieces each, or for all?
Yes, it's 50 each.
Robin bastard.
You could and leave us with 100 gold left.
Yeah.
So if we take you up on this offer, we need to buy
the health potions first, or don't we?
Just relax, dwarf. Just relax. Stop talking.
Easy, fellas.
If you're shoving me out first, I need some health potions.
So if we take you up on this game of chance, I would also like to talk about your price of your health potions. You said your health potions are how much each?
10 gold pieces.
Okay, so we don't have enough gold on us to work this whole deal out, but we'd like to work with you on this. So let's say if we could do each health potion, say, for 7 gold.
I'll tell you what. Pay me 70 gold pieces each for a better quality magical item, and I will give you health potions for 3 gold pieces each.
70 for a better magical item?
Yes.
Does this include this box of chance?
This is the box of chance. So this is a better quality, a higher quality, and there are some very nice things in there, believe me. For that extra money, there are some superb.
We're insured, but so I guess how do we know if you're just giving us what we already would have gotten for 50?
You won't know. I'm not going to tell you that. I've got plenty of customers. I'm quite happy here in my little shop.
Nice job, Traylon. You're trying.
I know, I'm trying. I mean, I like the price of the 3 gold for the health potion, don't get me wrong. So
I'm happy to roll and have this burden on my shoulders if no one else wants to take the risk. I will take.
Well, see, here's the problem.
Group decision,
hold on,
it's group money.
Yeah, this is a group decision because let's face it, we now have before us two different offers. One offer for 200 gold, we can each get a roll of this magic box, but we're not sure exactly what we're going to be getting from it. And then on top of that, we would have to buy health potions at 10 gold pieces apiece. So we could roll the box and get 2 health potions for 70 gold, or we take this new offer, which is he's promising better magical item, which we don't really know what that means.
Deluxe, it came from the back. Let me see what I've got in the back.
Right, yeah. That's 70 gold, and then he'll sell us health potions at 3 gold apiece. But now we're going to be limited in terms of how much gold we're going to have left over. Just saying. So for 76, we can get... 2 health potions and a magical item, or for 70 we can get a magical item and 2 health potions.
I think in the immediate now we need the health potions, so I suggest we buy the health potions at
maybe
RRP and just do the 50 bucks.
Maybe with Trailing Bean of magical orientation, he buys a box.
You want me to try and go first?
I would rather just keep my trusty battle axe and hand axe and just get the health potions if that helps the group out.
Well, that depends on the DM. Is this a group offer or can we individually decide?
You can individually decide. So someone can, you know, if someone wants to throw in 70 gold pieces first and see what you get, and then you can play it by ear.
I'm going to do the 70. I want to do it for me.
What's his name again?
Grognak?
Grognak?
Yeah.
Grognak, How about this? My take on this is 75 gold pieces. If I give you 75 gold pieces, will you give me 2 health potions and the promised upgraded magical box?
As your new customer, I will put myself down, put myself out that 1 gold piece, and accept your offer.
I appreciate that. Deal.
Okay. So, Traylon. Traylon, roll 2d10. So roll 1d10 and then roll the second d10.
All right, hang on. Okay, so roll 1d10. Here's the first d10.
No,
I
was just
rolled twice, but yeah,
that's nine.
That was supposed to be 1.
That's
all
good.
Right.
That's good.
And then here's the second d10.
96. Well, Traydon, in the mystery box you find a water repellent bedroll. This is a bedroll that creates a mild water repellent barrier around it as long as someone is laying on it. A gift made for a travelling merchant so he wouldn't worry about sleeping in the rain. Allows the user to survive in inclement weather without receiving damage.
Might come in handy, that.
Not bad.
Yeah, not exactly the thing I was hoping for, but then again, you never know. This might come in handy.
You got a tarp.
I'm sure by the end of the game, you'll be like the Emperor in like Return of the Jedi. Lightning from your fingers, you'll be all right.
Return of the Jedi isn't canon in this game.
It's a folklore story I heard once around the campfire. I'll go next.
Parthenix, are you going to take the deal?
I'm going to take the deal. I would also like the 75 for 2 potions and the 50 bucks.
The 50 bucks you want?
The extra special box.
The 70 bucks.
70 bucks and 2 health potions for 75 gold, please, merchant.
I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm probably not going to get it anyway. Here we go. D10. Let's go. Okay, that's the first one. That's a 9. Right.
Sure it is.
Second one. It's a 10.
Oh.
So we'll take that as a 60.
Right.
So rummage around in my box, and you have the monocle of Farsight.
Brilliant.
A tin monocle that lets the wearer see a great distance.
Ooh.
Made by an artificer that could no longer view the beautiful landscape around his home as he aged. Grants advantage to perception.
Thank you, kind wizard, for this fantastic item.
Yes, that's I will sleep well with this.
So, seeing as...
that's better than Traylon's tarp.
Yeah, seeing as Kim Leafwalker found this gold and shared it with us all, you two's already taken that offer up. I think we should take the offer as well, Kim. What do you think?
I agree. Yeah. What the hell? We may get lucky.
I'd like the 75 gold offer, please, as well, Mr. Shopkeep.
Hey, Jatic. Well, you're D10.
You couldn't remember his name, could you?
No. Techno, that's an 8. That's good.
Yes. 88.
Who?
That's also an 8.
2 fat ladies. Bingo!
88, where are we going, 88. Lads? Where are we going?
Back to the future.
We don't need roads.
So, Jatic.
I've won a DeLorean.
You have the Tome of Resilience. This is a leather-bound tome that writes out motivational quips whenever it is opened. It's made for a labourer with low self-esteem. However, it does grant the reader advantage on any subsequent roll once a day.
Ooh.
But reading it requires 1 action.
Right. Okay. So that allows me an advantage once a day.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yes. Kim?
Alrighty. Alright. Yep, I'll take the deal too. So, trying to figure All right, how the hell do we just roll one? I ask stupidly.
Oh, on the left hand side.
Just click on the actual where it says D10. Click on D10, not the 2 or the 3 or the 4.
Gotcha. All right.
You can train a halfling.
You can. Well, that's a 2.
It may not be bad, Kim.
I hope not. Oh. Oh.
That's your age, isn't it?
Yeah. 27, that's it, yep.
Gave it goal 27.
That works.
That's weird.
Follows
King Leafwalker, I'm happy to order you deodorant soap.
This Thank God, she stinks!
This is a bar of soap. This is a bar of soap that, when used to wash one's body, eliminates body odor, but also grants +1 to stealth and persuasion. And lasts for one day.
Well, I guess that's a good sign.
That's a rogue. That's very good.
Yes.
Okay.
That pushes yourself up again.
So next time we need to make any deals, we'll have to remind Kim, have a quick wash, and then...
Exactly.
And I'll just open my book.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, kind shopkeeper, for the soap.
Soap on a rope.
Just before we leave, Mr. Shopkeeper, don't forget to recap. Put them in that.
To recap, we have soap, a book of
motivational quips. Yeah,
yeah, motivational sayings. A bedroll that does apparently will keep water in or out. And Rich, what did you get?
I got a monocle.
A monocle.
He's Mr. Peanut.
I can see far away.
Yeah. I still think he's Mr. Peanut, but all right.
This whole time I was thinking swords.
Right? Me
magical
too.
Magical armor. Yeah. Not exactly what
and
I thought, but hey.
Arrows, but well, I guess I'll take soap.
You are only level 1, remember.
Yeah, well.
Fair enough.
Better
fair
than
enough.
A tarp, I guess.
Yeah, you don't get adamantium armor day one.
The good news is we did get 2 health potions each.
Yay!
That is a positive.
Yeah.
So there were some very, very powerful things around this. So you never know when
you
come
Jim
back
Bowen,
to the
look at what you could have won.
No, I'm not going to tell you what you could have won.
This is the let's make a deal thing where you passed on this.
No whammies.
Congratulations, you screwed up.
Yeah. Well.
All right. Well, we appreciate the business. We are going to, I think, step out and move on.
Indeed.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Grognak.
Tosser.
Don't forget my potions and my inventory.
Yeah, that's a good question. DM, are you going to require us to say we put the potions into our inventory that there? Is this going to be assumed?
No, it's assumed. I'll put those in for you afterwards.
Don't forget about my soap.
Don't forget the fucking soap. Right now, lads.
I really hope that is going to be listed as soap on a rope for Kim. I think that's the important aspect of this.
We've no gold left for it. A nice beer to finish up for day and say goodbye to our master.
We have
25 gold. Rogue. Yeah, we still have some gold.
Do we?
Yeah, 25 gold each.
Have we? Have we got that?
You just spent
300
gold.
I've applied for a job in finance. I am going to be terrible because I can't. I'm no good with numbers. How much have
we
got?
Well, so here's the question.
Yes.
Here's a quick question. So, again, I'm not seeing it on the character sheet, so maybe I'm missing it. Where would the gold appear on a character sheet?
I don't exactly know.
Ah, I see it actually. It's in our equipment. There is a little thing. So I had 10 gold pieces on me heading into this. So we found 300 on the road. We just spent the 300.
Mm-hmm.
Well spotted. Well spotted.
So I have 10 on me. So if you look in your equipment,
look down
on
the back of the sofa.
Side,
just above. I also have 10. Yeah. Cool.
I think we all have 10 gold pieces.
Whew. Nearly were brassic then.
Yep.
So you could pop to the tavern and raise a glass in honor of the master.
Oh, yeah, she died.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go over to the trading post, where I'm sure there's some fantastic deals.
Do we have any business with the solicitor?
Yes, you have to go.
Yeah, we've got to go see her.
You were mentioned in her last will and testament.
Well, why don't we go to the solicitor's office? We may get some gold from there. And then, if we get some gold, we can go and spend a few quid on get some mead and lamb and cheese.
The lizard speaks the truth. I think we should go to the office.
Yeah, because who knows? I might get more soap.
Yeah, they might have a second monocle, and then I'll have a full pair of glasses. Where are my glasses?
On your head.
Let's go to the office.
Okay.
I like that I'm hearing horses and the occasional sheep.
Yep.
Indeed.
A small bell rings in the door frame as you enter the solicitor's office. The smell of paper twinges in your nose. Neatly stacked books and files seem to fill every shelf, table, and available surface of the gnome's crowded workspace. Thank you so much for coming, she says shakily from behind her desk. She scurries off a chair and says, oh, excuse me, I seriously need to file these. She picks up papers off the seat.
He really wanted to go file them, didn't he?
Zach Ellis, listen, if you want to carry on, it's 25 quid per hour.
Yep.
Right. Per minute, I mean.
It's $1.95 now.
Waiting for Phil.
Yeah.
Using the old classic communication device of ye olde WhatsApp, you dropped.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
Did you have to go to the toilet, yeah. Mrs. Solicitor?
How much did you hear of that?
You went to show file some papers.
Yeah, you picked some papers.
You
went up.
You turned to file papers and you disappeared.
You were just gone.
I was offering you some tea. Do you want some tea?
Yes, please.
Have a seat and sit down.
Let the halfling drink the tea first.
Wow! Such hate or something.
No, I accept the offer of tea as well. But I will, of course, watch the halfling drink a sip first.
He thinks the worst of people, doesn't he? I swear.
He also unseals a small envelope with an EF pressed into its wax seal. As she pulls forth the letter within, the gnome speaks in a grave tone. Now, as I said at the services, Ilaria included you in her last will and testament. She has no family, and you are the only people mentioned in the document. She wanted me to read aloud and then give you the following instructions to take with you. My gold has dwindled in 800 years, but there's some left, so be all ears. My mansion, my treasures are all yours, if you can open the last of my doors. The vault in the backyard is my final test. You must work together to complete this quest. The door can be opened with strength of the mind, but before you attempt, find the tiles, all 9. 3 are hidden where she creeps and crawls, the one with 8 legs and venomous jaws. 3 are entrusted to one born of dragons, who cannot be reached by boats or by wagons. 3 still are buried with a friend long forgotten, who lingers at long after her body is rotten. Unlock the vault, do not delay, for others are hunting my treasure this day. Every moment you wait puts people at risk, so take up the task, and please do be brisk. All will make sense when you open the vault, and realize my death was not nature's fault.
Ooh.
The last line of the master's will chokes up Yelsa, and she sucks in a breath to compose herself. What could this all mean? Ilaria's property now belongs to all of you, that much is clear. You all remember there is a stone trapdoor behind the mansion that was always locked and had no key. The door did have 9 square-shaped divots in it. Perhaps this is the vault Ilaria's poem refers to.
Seems like a logical decision.
So we have to find the 9 tiles to open this vault.
Yep.
I'm going to share things with you now. A willing testament I'm sharing with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And also her memories.
Okay.
If you scroll down, you'll be able to see the actual text as well without having to make it out on the parchment.
Thank you for that. I believe the appropriate thing to do right now is go get that drink.
Yeah.
Maybe we should head to the tavern, have a drink, and look over her memoirs.
Yeah, I think I need some of that cheese as well. Don't forget the cheese. And we're going to go to the rowdy room.
To the rowdy room.
How rowdy is it?
As rowdy as you like, darling.
Why are there always spiders in these things?
They hate
and
us.
Gigantic, you know, large ogre-sized spiders, even.
As you open the door, you are greeted to the smell of stale ale and roasting meat. A loud crash draws your attention to the center of the room where 2 human miners brawl on the ground. Behind the bar, a woman with a long black braid and tattooed arms gives a loud laugh at the fight. The door to kitchen swings open and a wiry blue-haired woman wearing an apron and wielding a rolling pin like a club dashes in and starts beating the drunken brawlers. All right, break it up, you fools! The blue-haired woman bellows as the miners stumble to opposite corners of the room, clearly terrified of the chef. She turns to the woman behind the bar and says, Really, Zara? It's too early for this. Before storming off into the kitchen, the bartender just laughs all the harder.
All right, I say we approach the bartender, Zara, and order a round.
And wonder if the cook's not related to Marge Simpson. I'm just saying, blue hair, you know.
Jatik, are you going to have a full pint or just a half?
Well, I don't even know if I've got any gold. How do I tell if I've got any gold?
You've got 10 gold. We've all got a bit.
Is that
of
the thing where it says above total weight? It's got a silver, a gold, and some other bits. Is that what it is?
Yes, that's where it is.
Right, GP gold pieces. Right, okay. How much is it for? I'm maybe short, but I can drink heavily. How much is it for a pint of grog?
It should be nothing more than a copper piece, I would think.
Greetings. So our prices are 1 silver piece for a room for the night. Meals are 6 copper pieces. And drinks for ale are 3 copper pieces. So just to let you know, that's just to give you an idea. There are, for each gold piece, you have 10 silver pieces. And each silver piece is 5 copper pieces. So you've got plenty of cash you don't need to worry about anything in here.
What's EP?
Sorry?
What's one after silver? EP.
Platinum.
The CP says platinum, gold, silver, and copper.
There's one between gold and silver, though, isn't there?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
All right, okay.
Different land, different currency.
All right, I say we sit down, have a bite to eat.
Yeah,
drinks, and dinner.
And maybe have a room for the night.
Can I have a hard roll?
Me and Kim can share a bed because we're small enough.
I'll have a large stale roll of bread and I'll have a board of cheese. Your finest cheese, please, barkeep.
Cheese and bread and a mug of ale.
Yeah, cheese and bread, mug of ale. All round. Everyone's paying for themselves.
No, I want the heartiest stew. I don't want no cheese.
So we have
cheese
meat
for
stew?
Mice. Yes, meat stew, please.
Don't ask what the meat is.
Right.
It's just meat.
Never ask.
It's his rat out of his pocket.
Yeah, never ask what the meat is. Trust me on this.
So you get a big bowl of steaming meat stew, a big hunk of bread, and a jar of ale. Anything else?
Yes, Sarah. May I ask, where would adventurers potentially find work in these parts? Is there somebody that might be knowledgeable of other things we could seek for?
Well, work, we're always looking for dishwashers. We can have people who clean up. And on the notice board, tomorrow the notices are put up on the board for odd jobs and bounties.
That's what I was looking for. I'm beyond being a dishwasher, lass. Thank you, though.
Just bearing in mind, though, there is a time limit on this will and testament. So remember, someone else is searching for the tiles to get into the master's vault. So if you're not careful, I wouldn't worry too much about getting more gold at the moment.
I'm going to say, not dilly-dally.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of know, get a lay of the land. This would be a place to come back to you for potential jobs. All right, I say we eat, and we maybe put one up for the old lady, and then we head back to the mansion.
Yeah, we need to start thinking about these bloody clues.
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean? You know, what does it mean?
I think the clues, if you read them, they basically are three different quests we could partake.
Yeah.
Mansion first. Mansion is, we have to get to that vault. We have to secure that, especially if there is somebody else coming for it.
So three are hidden where she creeps and crawls. The one with eight legs and venomous jaws. So, Mr. Barkeep, do you know where there's any giant spiders flying around here, these parts?
Yeah, the lady's first memory talks about a spider behind a waterfall.
I would suggest that you maybe have a look at your map.
Dickheads. but again, maybe we should go to the mansion first. Why? And not worry about these other side adventures.
No, they're not there to get the tiles, Mr. Snooty. We can't get in the mansion without the tiles. We need 9 tiles to get into the vault.
We do,
Mr. Smarty Pants.
We can go to Vixthra's lair, which is the giant spider, which is where 3 of the tiles will be held.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just north of where we are. Follow the Miranthi River into the mountains and you'll find the waterfall and Vixthra's lair. Getting into this. It's all right, this.
Is that from the memories or not, Rich?
I can get behind that.
Oh, yeah.
Although I will say her second memory seems like this might be a conversation to be had. Something that we could easily potentially gain some insight before we head off into these others.
Yeah. We might be able to tell us something we don't know.
If we want to battle the spider, we want to do it last, don't we, when we've got all the other information.
It's true. She could be the boss.
Oh, dear. Mm.
So, yeah, we'll do the spider after. I agree. Let's go to Alceus Scaevola, however you pronounce it. Let's go to him and have some of his cooking.
Yeah.
Also,
I would agree.
He's a dragonborn like me. So
exactly. Yeah.
There you go. That's it.
I have some sympathies.
We are kin. We are kin.
Lizards together.
So you finish your meals. Do you take a room at the inn? It is late at night. Traveling in Merion Vale can be dangerous at night.
Yeah, I think we should rest up and set off early in the morning.
How much is a room?
Was it three copper?
Six copper pieces.
Six copper pieces. Yeah, well, we'll
share it. Take the room. We start off at first light in the morning.
Yeah.
Sounds like a plan.
That means no oversleeping, Jadak.
What about second breakfast?
Kim could have a bath and use a soap.
Oh, you people.
Okay, you wander up to your small and, to be honest, filthy rooms.
Surprise.
They're not the most appealing, but they're dry and safe.
Traylon can use a tarp.
Yeah. In case Mark pisses the bed.
So where are you going to go first, then? You've all agreed?
Staircase cliffs.
So cool air blows off Lake Miranthi as you walk into the grassy plains of the Merion Vale. So as you've seen from the map, to the north and south mountains rise high into the sky, full of silver and mithril. To the east, the dark of Dolor Forest rustles in the wind. This is the unexplored valley of riches and danger that calls to so many who have made Parabor home. and you're going to head to the staircase cliffs. Do we still have Kim?
I don't know. I don't believe so. She's probably reconnecting. But I'd also say, do we really care what the halfling thinks? Just saying.
Over a couple of days, it takes a couple of days to get there, you come up against an enormous cliff face.
Oh, that's me fucked.
Ilaria often mentions a good friend, Alcius Gavola, who's a dragonborn hermit who lives in a small yurt at the top of the staircase cliffs and worships Sylvana, goddess of nature. The staircase cliffs are so named because they are a short series of short plateaus, one on top of each other. Alcius's yurt is on the lowest plateau or bottom step of the staircase. The cliff leading up to his home is a bit of a treacherous climb. But the real danger is what lurks in those cliffs.
Uh-oh.
Are you ready for a very serious climb?
Yes.
75-foot high cliff, marred only with small circular holes big enough for a rat. At its top, you can make out a yurt covered in animal skins. And you hear scratching noises and slithering noises and flapping noises.
Yeah.
As the wind comes down hard from the icebound peaks in the north, chapping your face, what do you do?
Traylon is muted.
Yeah, we've lost Traylon. Can't hear you.
Apologies. Before we set off onto this cliff, does anybody have ropes, maybe some picks?
I have a rope.
I think we should try and secure ourselves a little bit. This doesn't look like an easy climb. And especially if half of our group is under 4 feet tall, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I've got 50 foot of rope. So
yeah, I've got 50 foot of hemp rope as well.
But that won't get us the whole way.
No, true, it won't.
No. But we can at least make it up to maybe the mid-plateau that seems a little more substantial.
I also have 10 foot of string, but, you know, whatever.
What if we go one at a time and just put two ropes together? That'll give us 100 feet.
I think, Parthenox, you might be the most adept at climbing up this this island, although the halfling also probably is going to be good at climbing.
So this comes down to an athletics.
I have minus one dexterity, so I'll have to use strength.
Twat. Yeah,
so if you look at your athletics in your skills chart.
Oh, I have five athletics.
I have minus one.
I've got four. Have I got four?
Minus one. What the hell?
As you walk towards the cliff, readying your ropes, you all stand side by side and look straight up. Rocks start to fall towards you. Just small rocks, just bouncing down. And you all take a deep breath and realize that this is going to be one hell of a climb.
We're fucked.